You're listening to a sermon preached at Sojourn Church North. The great theologian Augustine of Hippo once said that in the Old Testament, the new is concealed. In the new, the old is revealed. When we think of the messianic prophecies from this perspective, we see that the Old Testament whispers to us about the coming of the Messiah. Join us during our Advent sermon series titled Rumors of the Messiah, where we confirm the whispered prophecies of the Old Testament that told of the birth, suffering, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Well, I was thinking about this week with the last year and a half, and I was talking with Ken before the service and just thinking, I was so thankful when 2020 was over because I was like, 2021 has to be better. And then it wasn't better. It wasn't better. I heard a comedian this past week. He said, 2021's been like you have a baby in home and they fill their diaper in the middle of the night and you change it, you're groggy. And then you finally put the new diaper back on, got them cleaned up, you put the sleeper back on, then you're putting them back in the crib and then they fill the diaper again. And you're like, oh, he said, that's what 2021's been like over and over again. It's like, hey, that's a good analogy right there. But one of the things that we've lost in the last year and a half, whether it's perceived, where it's real, it is real in many cases, is a sense of safety and security. We know that each of us is born with the desire to feel safe and secure, even in our mother's womb. That's one of the beautiful things about being in that environment, is feeling safe and secure. Different stats and different studies have been done. There was one survey I looked at that said 58% of people feel less safe than they did a few years ago because of the pandemic. And that's a lot. And I know that I felt more unsafe this year in many ways. And so my mind makes connections, and I was thinking about safety and security. And it went back to my many times of leading ropes course in the woods. So I led for students for many, many years, and then I would train some people. But my favorite part of a ropes course was a 100-yard zip line that was in the woods. I was 30 feet up in the air on a little platform, and then students would come up a ladder and then climb up the staples, and then I'd hook them into the zip line. They'd fly down, scream, and it was good. Now, one of the things that was a big deal was safety. And for me personally, I'd have my harness on, crab claws, which were two ropes with carabiners, and I'd climb up the tree, hook myself into two different places. And then I would, because all the students, they were mildly anxious to terrified to do this. And so I would do an orientation just saying, hey, you're safe. It's challenged by choice. If you get halfway up the tree and you want to go back down, do it. It's okay. It's okay. There's no shaming here. There's nothing. But they'd be hooked to the belay rope, and so they'd climb up, and before I'd take off the carabiner to the belay rope, I would hook them into the tree, then I'd take off the belay. So they're always hooked to at least one point of safety. And then before I would take off that from the tree carabiner, I would hook them into the zip line. And I remember before I sent hundreds and hundreds of students down the zip line. I would literally pick up the rope and make sure that I could get them off the ground just to make sure, like, okay, it's going to hold. Because I tell them, like, the carabiners are rated to hold 2,000 pounds, the rope's rated, and we check the ropes every day and all this stuff. But it was intense because there was a lot at risk. And so I cared, and I wanted them to have a good experience, and I didn't want anybody to get hurt. So whether they felt safe and secure or not, they were. But then I was thinking the opposite of that. If there was some kid up there hooking people in, it didn't matter how good the equipment was if he didn't care, if he was negligent. And he was just like, distracted. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. And a lot of times we see God in a couple different ways. Sometimes we see him as the caring God that's hooking us in. There's always a point of safety, and he's like, I got you, I got you. And he's comforting. And part of that, what I enjoyed most about the ropes course was the emotional dynamic of being able to comfort students and just say, are you okay? All right, I'm not going to push you off. Don't push me off. I remember people saying, don't push me, don't push me. I'm not going to push you. You have to step off. This is you. But sometimes we feel like God is over here, that he's negligent, that he's obtuse, he's just distant. And there are times like that. And our safety and security and our feeling of trust in God is shaken. And there are times in our lives where we will ask these questions many, many times, is why did this happen? And sometimes it shifts to a different way. It's more personal. It's why did this happen to me? Does God care? Is he distant? Is he present in my life? And that's one of the reasons we gather every week and why we want to do community together, because we need to be reminded who he is and whose we are. And so as we conclude the Advent season, we've looked through Genesis 3:15 with the first promise, the promise of one coming to crush the head of Satan. Then we looked at 3 weeks in Isaiah 9, Isaiah 53, and Isaiah 61, looking at wonderful counselor, the suffering servant, and then he who was going to bind up the brokenhearted and release the slaves, the prisoners. And then on Christmas Eve, we looked at Luke 2 and the angels rejoicing that the Messiah had come and giving that message to the shepherds and how it affected the shepherd's life. And today I want to look at 3 promises that we can rest in 2022. As far as the Messiah, he has come, the Savior has come into the world, the light of the world. Nothing can put out that light. And so as we look at 3 promises we can rest in, just remind you again, there's nothing new about these promises. You've maybe heard them 100 times, but we can grow deeper into the realization of these promises. And so I'd invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. If you're able, we're going to look at Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. And my prayer is that at least one of these promises would meet your soul where it needs to be met today, and that you can hold it and grow into it, into this new year. Paul writes in Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So just briefly, 3 quick promises from this passage. We're going to look at you are safe. You are safe. And then we're going to look at you are known and loved. And then finally, you are wealthy beyond imagination. You're safe, you're known and loved, and you're wealthy beyond imagination. First thing again, looking at verse 4 and 5, I'll read it again. "But when the fullness of time had come," we talked about the Messiah coming, "God sent forth his Son, born of a woman," see the promise from Genesis 3:15, "born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law," that's us, "for why? So that we might receive adoption as sons." And the greatest need any human has in this world is to be made right with God. The scriptures teach we're enemies of God. But because of Jesus coming, we've been redeemed, we've been adopted, and because of that, we will not face the horrors that would be ours because of sin. We hear the wages of sin is death in Romans 3. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we acknowledge we are safe, that we will not have to pay for our sin. We couldn't do it, but Jesus could, and he did. And now here's something that, a quote that I want to read. It's in my top 5 quotes, and you may have to slap yourself a little bit. It's a longer quote. I usually don't read long, long quotes while I preach. But this one's about 30 minutes long, so I'm just going to read it. It's really not that long. I'm just kidding. This is one of my top 5 quotes in my life, and I go back to it all the time. And it's on safety and security. It's John Ortberg in Love Beyond Reason, and he's quoting his mentor, Dallas Willard, who's one of our favorite theologians. So I'm going to read it. If we need to do some jumping jacks in the middle of it, I'll let you know. This is what Orberg writes. And think in the context of safety and security. If I seek to find the answer in myself, my own wisdom and my own strength, then I'm lost. My anxiety spirals out of control. But if I can stop, acknowledge where I am, and seek to relinquish these things to God and shift my gaze to Him, the trajectory of the moment can shift. In the midst of trying times, we can be certain in God's love, God's wisdom, and God's sovereignty. We can be growing in faith, and truly, it is in the trying times that the roots can grow deeper and our faith can grow deeper. If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, you also believe in me. We are safe in His hands, safe. And so here's what Dallas Willard writes. Dallas Willard writes that Jesus lived a life of utter trust because He understood His Father to be unfailingly competent and wholly devoted. Here is the striking result. With this magnificent God positioned among us, Jesus brings the assurance that our universe is a perfectly safe place for us to be. Really? Our universe? We talk much in our day about safe places because our world seems so unsafe. Catastrophes and violence and disease blanket the earth. And yet this is the discovery that gets made over and over in the scriptures. Lions' dens and fiery furnaces, Pharaoh's prison and the floor of the Red Sea, a battered little boat in the midst of a violent storm. All these seem to be most dangerous, but turned out to be the safest places of all. It is true, our universe is a perfectly safe place for us to be, not because bad things won't happen, but because what Paul says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or peril? The worst weapons this world can unleash are powerless before that love. And so will bad things happen? Absolutely. Will you get sick? More than likely. Will we pass away? Will those we love pass away? It will happen unless the Lord comes back. And the truth is, we can shift our gaze in the reality in a spiritual sense to say, I am safe and secure. God has me. And just like the disciples are freaking out on the boat in the storm and Jesus is asleep and they wake Him up and He wakes up and He calms the storm. They were safe with Jesus. And the reality is, even if the boat broke and they all drown, they were safe with Jesus because they would have been in the Father's hand in His presence. And so when we think about 2022, we can breathe deep and say, in the midst of all that I'm going through, my soul is safe and secure in Christ. But it gets more intimate than that. Number two, you are known and loved. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this is the intimate term for daddy, daddy. And even the term that Paul's using here, crying, it is a crying out in distress. We have the ability to go to God in our distress. And the scripture said we were slaves to sin, but now we are adopted. We're children of God, and that's our ultimate identity, sons and daughters of the King. It's not where you work. It's not how good an athlete you are. It's not how intelligent you are. It's not how big your house is, how many cars you got. The ultimate identity you have, which cannot be changed, is that you are a son of the King or a daughter of the King, because that is eternal. And the truth is, one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, if you hang around me long enough, you'll hear me talk about it. It's Zacchaeus, because Jesus comes up and He sees Zacchaeus, this wretched thief. He's ripping off people, tax collector. But Zacchaeus had probably heard the unbelievable press that Jesus is a friend of sinners. So he's like, I just want to see Him. He's so short, He's like climbs up a tree. But Jesus sees him out of all the crowd. And Jesus knows him. He knows his name. Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today, buddy. And then people are grumbling like, if he knew who he was with, if he knew, Jesus wouldn't be hanging out with Zacchaeus. And Jesus knows what they're saying. He's like, I came to heal the sick. And Zacchaeus is so changed. He's like, I give half my possessions to the poor, and I'll pay back four times anybody I ripped off. He was changed. So there's the tenderness of the Father's heart shown in Jesus, our triune God. We are seen, we are known, and we are wanted. So God sees you wherever you are. He sees everything about your life, even stuff that hasn't happened yet. He knows you. He knows your greatest fears, your greatest dreams, your greatest anxieties, when you're in despair, when you have great hope. He sees it all. And the tender part is he sees and he knows, but God wants you. He knows you. He loves you. And it's a lifelong journey for us to get to know him more and to grow into that. So we're safe, we're loved, and the last thing, we're wealthy beyond imagination. Verse 7 says this, so you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. And this is the doctrine of sonship, that the inheritance would go to the firstborn son in those days, the majority of the inheritance, and that that is our position, men and women, as children of the king. We have the position of firstborn, that we're co-heirs with Christ, and we're wealthy beyond imagination. We had nothing. We just had punishment. We were slaves to sin, and God just didn't save us from sin. He did, but he saves us to something. He saves us to himself, into that relationship. A lot of churches focus just on the sin part, and it is important. It's essential, but God doesn't just save us from sin. He saves us to his family and says, come abide with me. Come live with me. Come follow me. Come learn from me. And he's pumped. He's excited. Even as we looked in Isaiah when it said, the zeal of the Lord will do this. He's zealous to do this. He is joyful to do this. He is excited. And it's hard for me sometimes to even picture God just gleeful and excited. He's not tainted by sin. The joyfulness of God, eternally joyful. The same God who can mourn with us. And what does he give us? What's our inheritance? Well, there's a lot that we could say. We get resurrected bodies that won't break down anymore. Anybody's body breaking down a little bit? Nobody? Just mine? Oh, a couple people. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes it's not that I'm lifting weights or playing basketball when I get injured. I'm opening a box of cereal and I'm like, oh, I think I just strained my back. What happened there? Resurrected bodies. We get the new heavens and the new earth. Describes it in Revelation, how amazing the new Jerusalem will be. We get God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. We get communion face to face for eternity. We get uninhibited relationships with each other. And if you look at the fruit of the Spirit or 1 Corinthians 13, that's what's going to be like. Unhindered joy, love, patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All of that stuff with each other. All guilt, all fear, and all shame will be eradicated. There will be rewards. We don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but we get it all because that's God's heart. He shares. And so we have security. We have intimacy, and we have unparalleled prosperity in God. And so we can live and hold to these promises into the new year. And if you find yourself being completely anxious, that's where you are. Some of us struggle with anxiety disorders. It stinks. I don't like it. Some of us, and I'm talking about myself here, I'm not like, it stinks you have an anxiety disorder or whatever. No, it's like, for me, it stinks that I chronic depression. But I will say, there is nothing else in my life that has drawn me to the Father's heart than those things. They can drive me a lot of different ways, but I'll tell you, the posture of my life has been this. Because of these hardships, and a lot of times I'm crying out, Lord, why? Why? Such suffering, such death, such heartache. And he's saying, my child, believe in me. I've got you. You're safe in me. You're known and loved. And you're wealthy beyond imagination. All this is made possible because of the sacrifice of Christ. In the fullness of time, Messiah came, lived a perfect life, marched to the cross, and died and took the punishment that was for me and you, and took his righteousness and placed it on us, adopted us into his family, and we are secure. So I'd invite you, if you are a believer here today, you can come grab one of these after I pray. We'll take communion all together in a few moments. Top layer is the bread. The second layer is the juice. And let's be reminded and say, Lord, what of these promises, which one should I cling to this year? What do I need to grow in this year? Let me pray for us.